I remember waking up one morning, you know, full of excitement. I was very excited about what was going to happen that day. Yeah. Now, my father used to be a headmaster in a rural school in Zambia. And what used to happen is from time to time, politicians from the ruling party would come to visit. Whenever they came to visit that area, they would come through my father. And, he would, come. They would come to our house, actually. Some important politicians would come to our house. And I remember my mother cooking some fantastic meals, meals that she would not normally cook for us. You know, she would cook for them. And, from time to time, we'd get introduced to these politicians and we'd get to know them and that kind of thing. But this particular day, I was only about 9 years, I think 8 to 9 years old. This particular day was different because the politician who was going to come that day was no ordinary politician. It was actually the then president of the Republic of Zambia. And, so there was a lot of excitement. I woke up very early that morning, looking forward to this day. And I was hoping, he'd come to our house. You know, I was given to understand that he'd probably come to our house. And I was hoping, more importantly, that I would probably get introduced to him and probably have audience to him, with him. And so I woke up early, got ready, and we went to school, met my schoolmates. But what happened is we were actually marched to one line, the main street, which led into the school. And when he came by helicopter, and he landed on the football pitch where my father was headmaster. And so we were not able to see the helicopter and to see him close up because we were marched off and we lined the streets. So the next thing we saw was him passing in his expensive car with his handkerchief. He had a white handkerchief which he normally used to wave, and he passed. And he was actually whisked away by these party officials, and they had meetings. And the next thing we saw was a helicopter taking off and him flying away. And I was very, very disappointed because I was hoping I would have audience with this man and probably get to speak to him and get to see what he was like. But I never got to do that. Okay. Now, coming back to the theme of Easter, today being Easter Sunday, I would like us to look at Matthew chapter 27, verse 50 to 52. Then Jesus shouted out again, and he released his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two, from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split apart, tombs opened. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead after Jesus' resurrection. Okay? Now, just a little introduction to that. I would like to look at what happened in the temple in particular. And when Jesus died, we are told in the scriptures that the veil in the temple that separated the holy place and the most holy was torn into two. And thus, exposing the most holy. And so what I want to say here is the veil separated the holy place and the most holy. And as we know, the most holy represented the presence of God in the temple. That's where the presence of God dwelt. And so nobody was allowed to go in there apart from the high priest, who would go there once a year to offer the sacrifice for the people. So he would go there once a year, and nobody else was allowed to go in there. But on this particular Easter, Good Friday, on that particular Good Friday, when Jesus died, that veil was torn in two, and therefore the most holy was exposed. And so we can see from here that that signified, the fact that access to the most holy was, made available. It was made available to us. And I believe that, to me anyway, I believe that this is one of the most profound, truths in the scriptures, that access was made available, to us. And if we look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2, Please, thank you. And this one makes it even more clear when it says, because of Jesus and because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence, assured of his glad welcome. Now, obviously, one of the things that comes out here in the first part of the scripture is the fact that the access that I'm talking about has been made available to those who have faith in him. Okay, so obviously, it's not everyone, but those who have faith in him. And therefore, if you are here and you don't happen to be a Christian, maybe you're thinking about becoming a Christian, you need to obviously have that access to the very throne room of God, the presence of God. You need to become a Christian. You need to give your life to Jesus. You need to accept him as your personal Savior. And therefore, you'll have access to the very presence of God. And then, obviously, if we continue in the second part of the verse, we see that we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence, assured of his glad welcome. So if we are Christians, we can be assured of that glad welcome. Now, obviously, going back to the story that I just began with, where I was looking forward to have audience with Dr. Kenneth Kaunda, I was very excited. I was looking forward to this. But I was denied that audience. And I'm sure most of us would want to go to Buckingham Palace and meet the Queen. I know for a fact that my mother-in-law would do anything to meet the Queen. Yeah. But, you know, one thing is, we've got someone more important than the then president of Zambia. We've got someone much more important than the Queen, who has given us invitation. He's given us 24/7 invitation into his very throne room, into his very presence. You know, in fact, it says he'll gladly welcome us into his presence. So we've got that very, very important fact that God is actually, you know, wants us to go into his very presence. Now, as I said, obviously, these are some of the things that happened on that first Easter weekend when Jesus died and died for us. And what are the implications of what he achieved on the cross when he died and rose again on that first Easter weekend? I'm just going to look at two things. I believe there are a lot more things that a lot more blessings that came with that. But I just wanted to look at the first one, which is the fact that, you know, we can go to God. We've been commanded to live, you know, fruitful and holy Christian lives. And one of the things we can do is we can go to God and ask for grace to do that. I believe that grace is one of those things that we really need in our Christian lives in order to be successful in whatever we do. And so I believe that we can go to God and ask for grace to live this Christian life. If you look at Romans chapter 5, verse 2, it says, through him also we have access, again, it's talking about access that I've just been talking about, entrance, introduction, by faith into his grace. Now, I always imagine that the presence of God has got limitless grace. You know, it's like an ocean of grace, and therefore, when we go into his presence, you know, we can have all the grace that we need. All the, you know, we can kind of get submerged into that grace and come out bubbling and, you know, with joy and full of, you know, the grace that we need to live our Christian lives. And I believe, as I said, grace is very important for us to live the Christian lives, because, you know, without grace, it would be very difficult for us to achieve holiness and to live for God. Okay. And the second thing that I wanted to look at is that we can come to God and cast our burdens upon him. In first, I haven't actually put it on the board, but in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, the Bible says that cast your burdens upon him, for he cares for you. He cares. God cares about what happens to us. God cares about everything in our lives. You know, God is interested about each and every detail of our lives. And I don't know what you might be going through this morning. I don't know what you might be experiencing. I don't know what might be the, you know, difficult situation in your life. I remember at the end of, just when the financial crisis was beginning in October 2008, I lost my job at that particular moment. And it was quite difficult, if not very difficult, because my wife was only doing a part-time, just 2 days, and I was the main breadwinner. I was the one who was really, you know, the main breadwinner. And we had some obligations, obviously, to meet. And so, you know, it was very difficult for us. And so, obviously, when I was told I was no longer needed, I started looking for another job. I thought I would quickly find a job and get into it. But as, you know, obviously it became clear as the financial crisis started biting that it was going to be more difficult than that. And so we continued looking and we asked the church to pray for us and asked friends and family to pray with us and continued looking. And, you know, this scripture, you know, this... you know, the scripture about, you know, having access into the very throne room of God obviously came to me, and I really started praying about, you know, the job. I really started seeking God about that. And what I noticed was that, or what we soon found out was that the weeks started turning to months, and the months turned into years. But we continued praying and, you know, trusting God for a job. It was difficult. Sometimes we, you know, almost gave up, but continued to pray and, you know, was wondering, will I ever get a job? And finally, obviously, in God's timing and God's, you know, in God's good timing, a job came, you know, a fantastic job that I really enjoyed. Very good atmosphere, the good line manager that I have. It's fantastic. It's you know, it's a blessing. Yeah. And so, you know, God heard our cry. God heard our, you know, our prayer because of the fact that we can go to Him. We, you know, we've got access, and we can go to Him and, you know, ask, put our requests to Him. Yeah. And I, obviously, I don't know what your situation might be. What you're going through, it could be financial. It could be a family tricky situation and that kind of thing. But God is interested. God is interested in whatever you're going through. And I'm not standing here saying God is a vending machine and who you can go to and just ask for anything and gives you. God is His thoughts are much higher than our thoughts. And God knows us. You know, when I was going through that, when I was going through the difficulty of having no job, I wanted a job now. But God knew the right time to give me a job. I remember when I was looking for that job, something came up at a school, at a secondary school in South London, and I went there, and I was saying, this is it, you know, and I well, went to that job, worked for a few weeks, and then discovered it was actually not for us, you know, it wasn't going to work out. And I remember when I left that job, I was very disheartened, I was really disappointed, and I was actually almost blaming myself. I was thinking, maybe it's because of what I said, or what I did, or I've ever gone through that kind of thing where you start blaming yourself, maybe it's because of what, you know. But when this job came up, the job that I have now, I look back and say, actually, God knew why He took me out of that job. In fact, I thank Him. He took me out of that the other job because He knew better than myself. And so we need to just trust God and trust that God knows the best for us, and we should continue to go into His presence and commune with Him. So as I said, I don't know what you might be going through. I don't know what your situation might be. But God is interested, and God wants you to go in His presence and commune with Him. Because that's what He achieved for us. That's one of the things that He achieved for us on that Easter Sunday, that Easter weekend, the first Easter weekend. So if you go into God's presence, God will gladly welcome you into His presence, and God will meet you at your point of need. Amen.
Fantastic. Let's close our eyes. Let's close our eyes and let's each of us just reflect on that, because I've known Chancellor for a number of years, and seeing someone wait years for God's answer is hard. And if you today, if you're looking for God's answer in a situation and it's not coming soon, I want to encourage you Chancer, who's just spoken, that his life is a living testimony that God answers in his time. I wanted to invite the Holy Spirit to come and minister amongst us this morning. Whatever the things are that we hope for, we long for, we pray for, that the Easter message of this veil rent into access to God, that we can come right to him, pour out our hearts to him, and we can share and tell him the things, the burdens, the issues, the things we feel in our heart today, and he will hear. And his wonderful time, he will answer. Let's still our hearts before God. I wonder if the musicians could come back, please. Thank you, Lord.